Our passage this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 19. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Father, we come this morning hungry to hear from you, to be encouraged from your word, to be reminded of the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Would you open our ears to hear? Would you soften our heart to receive this morning your word to us? And would you use your word to encourage us that the resurrection is true and then to live in such a way that shows the resurrection is true? We pray this for the glory of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. Hope if you have a Bible, you can open up your Bible and follow along. We'll be looking at many different points within this passage here this morning. If you don't own a Bible, there should be a black Bible somewhere near you in one of the seats, underneath one of the seats. It's a black Bible. It's on page 961 in that Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we encourage you, that's our gift to you. That Bible is our gift to you. If you don't own one, or if you have a family member or a close friend that doesn't own a Bible, please take it. Somebody told me recently they took one and gave it to a friend. And so we'd love that. Please take it. We will buy more Bibles. Please take those Bibles. Well, we've been in 1 Corinthians. It's been a joy. And we're focusing now on the resurrection. And as we get into this, it made me think about some of those funny videos where you see men, it's always men, always, that need to cut down a tree or trim a tree, and yet they choose not to get a professional to help. And maybe you've seen it where they lean the ladder up against the tree, right next to the massive branch, and they're just sawing that branch down, either by hand or they have a chainsaw because they think they're cool with that, right? And next thing you know, what happens when the branch falls? It hits the ladder, and the dude just goes flying. And you think, you don't cut down any part of a tree while leaning against the tree. It's not wise to do that. I plead the fifth if I've ever done such a thing. But then I think there's even a worse decision to make, and that would be to get up on the tree and to sit on the branch and then cut off. It's probably happened. You don't need to tell us if it's happened to you. But I think of that picture when I read this passage of somebody sitting on the branch of a tree and then cutting off that branch only to fall to their doom in some way. This is in a similar way what seems to be happening in Corinth. People are following Christ, claiming to follow Christ in obedience and serve him, although they have all these sins, all these ways that they're not getting church right and living the right Christian life. And yet, they're trying. And here in verse 12, Paul asked, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? How can you say there's no resurrection of the dead if you're claiming to follow Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead? Paul finds it hard to believe that there are some people in the church claiming that there is no resurrection of the dead. I mean, do they not understand? If you get rid of the resurrection, then everything about Christianity falls apart. You're sitting on the branch and you're just cutting it off and you fall down totally. Well, that's what Paul is addressing here, how important the resurrection is. That's all of chapter 15, but here he focuses in on why the resurrection is so important because it relates to Christ. And then he's going to give us seven consequences if the resurrection is not true. If there is no resurrection, here's the seven things that you have to now deal with as a proclaimed follower of Jesus. And then in the end, I want to just remind us of the glory of the resurrection. But first, Paul has to deal with why the resurrection is essential to the Christian life. We started last week in chapter 15 when Paul in verse 3 said this, "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Paul says this is of first importance. Now, he's taught them all kinds of things throughout this letter to them. All the mistakes they're making, all the sins they're committing, he's been trying to correct them. But here he says this is of first importance to you. That if you're getting the resurrection wrong, everything else doesn't really matter at all. And so to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins is of first importance to us. It is this gospel of good news that we find, we base our whole life on. It's why we gather together as a body. We commit to proclaim the good news even to others. There's no other way to be saved from sins except through Christ. By faith, through grace, not by works. That's it. Through his death, burial, and resurrection. And Paul says there in the beginning of 15, this gospel wasn't made up by him. It wasn't put together by a group of guys trying to figure out how to gain power in some religious exercise. No, it was according to the Scriptures. The entire Bible was pointing forward to the birth of Christ and then the perfect life of Christ and then his death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And then it finishes with his coming again because the Bible claims he's still alive. He died, but he rose again from the dead. Everything about the Christian faith rests on the resurrection. Everything. And here in Corinth, some in the church are saying, no, yeah, maybe Christ rose from the dead, but we can't believe that anybody else will actually be raised from the dead. There's no way. Now, there's lots of reasons why that might have been coming up in some within the church's mind. The culture around them had lots of different views about how life worked, about the body, the physical body, and the soul. And so there's this view that the soul would be raised, would live forever, but the body would just go away. And so that might have influenced some of the people at the time believing that and trying to bring that into the Christian faith. Or maybe some of them thought, wait, resurrection of the dead, does that mean like the walking dead? Like there will be corpses walking around. No thanks. We don't want that. And so they would just reject it. No, that can't be. That's horrible to think about. Whatever led some of people in the church to reject the resurrection, in the end, they have missed what is most essential to the Christian faith. It's not just that Christ died. He did. It's not just that he was buried. But if you get rid of the resurrection, then you get rid of everything. Do you believe in the resurrection? Really, do you really believe in the resurrection that one day, because Christ was raised, you too, if you are in Christ, if you have trusted in Christ, that one day you too will be raised from the dead? Do you really believe it? Some in Corinth didn't believe it. And Paul is going to spend this whole time telling us why and what are the consequences if we don't believe it to be true. In summary, Christianity without the resurrection is nothing. It's nothing. It's emptiness. It's false religion. There's nothing to live for if there's no resurrection. Christianity is grounded in the resurrected Jesus Christ. It's why Paul says in verse 13, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Not even Christ has been raised. Take away the resurrection, You may get reception in the culture around you for the beliefs that you hold. You may even get some kind of respect for the spirituality that you practice in the world. You may even get applause from the world around you for the good works that you do, the way you serve those in need. But if you get rid of the resurrection, then Christ is still in the grave, and then why? Why do everything that you're doing? If Jesus is still in the grave, we have no hope. We have no hope. And even then, if you still claim, as some in Corinth do, to follow Jesus, even if there is no resurrection of the dead, you have to come to grips with the things that Jesus even said about the resurrection. Listen to what he said in Matthew 17, 22 and 23. This is Jesus himself. He said, "The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." Jesus believed the resurrection was coming. He believed that he would be raised from the dead, and all who were in him were raised. But if there is no resurrection, and Jesus wasn't actually raised from the dead, then what do we do with Jesus? We go, well, he was a false prophet, or he was a liar, he was crazy. One of those arguments. Everything then that Jesus taught is thrown out because he wasn't right. And so we lose everything. And all those people we learned last week that saw him, the apostles, the 500, they must have been either duped or they were lying as well to keep up this appearance for some reason. If there is no resurrection, Paul says, then Jesus is dead. He's dead. And without a Savior who is alive, who conquered sin and death, then this religion would be like any other kind of religion, trying to produce works righteousness, that we can be good by the good things that we do. We just need to try harder and work harder to be really good so that our good will outweigh our bad. Because that would be our only hope. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that no one is good, that no one is righteous, and all of us, every single one of us, is dead in our sins. And the only hope we have for forgiveness is not by good works. It's by the sacrificial death of the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. His resurrection affirming and confirming that he actually did take our sins upon himself. And that he did conquer all of sin and death. And he was raised to new life. And he could forgive us and give us new life to live with him forever. See, if you get rid of the resurrection, then Christ was not even raised and everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. And we should ask, then why would we even show up here? What would be the point? Why would I even seek to follow Christ in every way? Well, we are here because we know the resurrection is true. But Paul's not done with his argument. He wants, before we cut off the branch, any of us cut off the branch we're sitting on, he would go, hold up. Do you really want to know what happens if there's no resurrection? I'm going to tell you seven things. I'm going to tell you seven consequences of the resurrection, if there is no resurrection of the dead. This is like the moment that this just keeps spiraling out of control. You have the moment when you have a piece of clothing that has a loose string on it, and you don't have scissors or a pocket knife, and you think, well, it can't be that bad, and you just try to pull it. You've done it, and the next thing you know, the string just keeps going and going. You're like, well, my whole arm's going to fall off now, right? Well, that's what's going to happen. It's like Paul says, if you say there's no resurrection, you're pulling the string and it's just going to keep going and going and everything is going to fall apart. Seven consequences if there's no resurrection. First, verse 13, then not even Christ has been raised. We just talked about that, but it's important. Paul starts with that. Get rid of the resurrection, then Jesus is still in the grave. We have no living Savior. He's proven to be a false prophet, a liar, crazy, not worthy to follow in obedience or to give our lives to or the one who loves us. Christ would still be in the grave. 2, verse 14, Paul says, then our preaching is in vain. All over the New Testament, Paul and the other writers claimed that Christ died, was buried, and was risen from the dead for the forgiveness of sins. And so if there is no resurrection and Christ was not raised from the dead, then Paul says all our preaching is utterly not true. It's pointless. There's nothing behind it whatever. By preaching and proclaiming the promises of something that didn't happen, how terrible would that be, Paul says. Our preaching would be in vain. But not only would the apostles' preaching be in vain. Look in 14 again. Your faith would be in vain. We live by faith, not by sight. That Christ was raised from the dead and he will come again. That is the Christian life. It's by faith. We trust. It's true based on the eyewitness account, the preaching of the apostles, the word of God. But if there is no resurrection, then your faith is in vain. There's no basis for it. There's no power in your faith. And what many claim to be true of Christians is that we would just have blind faith. We're hoping in something, but we have no proof of it, no evidence, no grounding that it could actually happen. It'd be totally just blind. It'd be in vain in every way. But we don't have blind faith. We have faith in a risen Savior. There's blind faith all over the place. There's going to be a lot of blind faith in the fall with your favorite football team. You're going to have great hope that they're going to conquer the world. And whoever that team is, they'll be dashed, probably very quickly. Right? We put our faith in all kinds of things. But if Christ is dead, then our faith is in vain. It's in vain. Pointless. Fourth, verse 15. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. Our faith rests in the resurrected Christ, who conquered sin and death. And we learn of the glorious good news of the gospel through the eyewitness account. It's Paul saying the same thing, that our preaching is in vain. Peter said in 2 Peter 2, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter, who wrote part of the New Testament, says, we saw him, we witnessed his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Paul says, if Christ did not raise from the dead, was not raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection, then we misrepresented God. We have given God the credit for something that he did not do. And we've been proclaiming it, and encouraging others to believe in it, persuading them even to trust in Christ. But Paul says, if there is no resurrection, then we misrepresent God. And that would mean any time that we have shared the gospel of Jesus and said that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and was raised to new life, and you too can be raised to new life, we would be misrepresenting God before anyone we've ever told that message to. We would have given a false witness. And our testimony should be thrown out, just like the apostles. The fifth consequence, verse 17, your faith is futile. It's futile, it's empty, it's fruitless, it's powerless, it's lacking any truth, no grounding in it. It leads to nothing. He's saying the same thing in a different way than that our faith would be in vain. If Christ is still dead and there is no resurrection, there is zero point in following Jesus or adhering to the Christian faith, because there's nothing to come after this life. See, we live by faith, trusting that this world is not our home, but there's a world to come, that we're going to live forever. And if our faith is in the resurrected Christ, who's going to come back and bring us to himself, but if that's not true, then our faith is futile. It leads to nothing. It's just wishful thinking. Our faith will never be made sight. That's what would be a consequence if there is no resurrection. This must have been painful for Paul to write. It's depressing. It's scary to think about. But if that wasn't bad enough and hard enough, he continues. Number 6, verse 17, you are still in your sins. Those of us who are in Christ, we came to Jesus trusting that even in the midst of our sin against God, every wicked and evil thing we had ever done, that Christ took that sin upon himself so that we could be forgiven. We could be washed clean, our sin removed as far as the east is from the west. And yet, if there is no resurrection, then our sin has not been paid for. That we are still in our sins and we are still under the wrath of God. Jesus didn't take it for us. He didn't conquer sin and death. It was wishful thinking. It was just an example of how to sacrifice. But we're still in our sins. And then we just have this ungrounded hope that maybe, maybe when we die, God will have mercy on us. And he'll let us be in his presence. I mean, that's what some religions teach. They don't have a risen Savior. They have this hope that if I'm good enough and God is merciful enough, maybe, just maybe when I die, maybe he will be merciful to me and he will let me in to heaven, to paradise, whatever it may be. Maybe. But there's no assurance of that. There's no guarantee of that. There's no promise that sins are wiped away. It's just this hope that I can do good enough and that God will be merciful enough. But in the end, he may just choose not to be for his own reasons. This is the same for us if there is no resurrection. We would still be in our sins just wondering, will God accept me? There's no conquering of sin without the resurrection. No forgiveness of sins. And we're still dead and lost in our sins. The Bible says the payment of sin is death, not good works. And the choice is clear. We can trust in our own selves so that our sins will be taken care of, or we can trust in Christ who took our sins, and we can have faith in his death on our behalf. It is his resurrection that is the confirmation that our sins have been nailed to the cross, and we can sing about his love and the glory of the cross. It's because he was raised from the dead. His death on the cross is important, but so is his resurrection. We can't get rid of the resurrection, because it's the resurrection that we see that, yes, we can have new life, that we can be born again. We can be new creations, redeemed and justified, adopted into God's family to live forever and ever as his righteous children. But if there is no resurrection, you and I are still dead in our sins, and we have no hope. And it gets even worse. Verse 18, number 7. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Have perished. Some of you are familiar with the Bible enough that you know at least John 3:16. Even if you're not a Christian, we're so glad you're here with us. But you may have heard this or seen it somewhere on some poster at some sports event that used to be the thing to do. But John 3:16, where Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Should not perish, but have eternal life. Paul says, for those who followed Christ and have died, it means that they have perished if there's no resurrection. It means they are not currently with the Lord. They have been separated from God because of their sins, eternally punished. If Christ has not been raised, there is no resurrection. Christians are still in their sins. Then every faithful brother and sister in Christ who sought to be obedient to the Lord out of their relationship with Christ, who believed in the Lord that he would raise them from the dead, that he would bring them home, all of them have perished. Think about every funeral you've ever been to for a loved one, a spouse, a grandparent, a child in the family who had trusted Christ. Every funeral that you had ever been to, and there was grief, but there was grief with hope. that this loved one who trusted in Christ will be with the Lord. Paul says that hope is unfounded. That hope is unfounded. If there is no resurrection, we have no hope because all have perished. The last piece of the thread comes out. The branch is cut off. There's nothing to live for if there's no resurrection. Why bother following Christ? There's no forgiveness of sins. Faith is empty. Preaching has all been a lie. The Word of God is not to be trusted, and we will live forever separated from God. And Paul says, if there's no resurrection, these seven things are true. And then verse 19, if in Christ we have hope only in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Pitied meaning we would deserve sympathy for our pathetic condition. That we believe something that's not true. That we have our hope placed in a Savior who's still dead. And we will never have our sins forgiven or be with the Lord. We should be pitied. Think about all that you do to try to sacrifice your life for Christ, to live for Christ in obedience, to serve Him, to give Him glory, and to sing His praises. What would be true if there's no resurrection? Think about Paul, who writes about the resurrection here and the importance of it, the essential character and nature of the resurrection. Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a resurrection of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. How pitiful Paul would be if there is no resurrection. He counted everything as loss to follow Christ and to know Christ so that he would have Christ take his sins and then raise him to new life. How pitiful it would be for any of us who have lived in obedience to Christ. If there is no resurrection, we would still be dead in our sins. We would only have hope in this life, not in a life to come where all things will be made new. We should be pitied. It would be pitiful to say, like John did at the end of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. What a waste. If he's dead, he's not coming again. How terrible, how pathetic. We would be hopeless. This is a difficult passage to read, but do you understand? Do you see the essential nature of the resurrection for the Christian life? We can't get rid of the resurrection. We get rid of the resurrection, everything falls apart. We're cutting the very branch on which we're sitting. And Paul goes through all these consequences, as difficult as they may be, because he wants those in Corinth and he wants us to see the glory of the gospel, of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because the resurrection is true. We learned of that last week. It is true. Jesus is alive. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding on your behalf. The resurrection happened, and it will happen. Jesus is currently preparing a place for us, and he will come back again because he's alive. If there is no resurrection, we should be most pitied. But the good news is Jesus was raised from the dead, and that means we too will be raised from the dead. So what's true if the resurrection is true? We can trust the preaching and teaching of the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, of the 500 who saw him after he was raised, who ate with him, who spent time with him, who touched him. We can trust the word of God and that God is not a liar. that God did what he said he was going to do, and he will do it for all who are in Christ. He will raise us to new life and one day be resurrected. So what is, if the resurrection is true, and it is, we can trust God's word. We can live on God's word. Because the resurrection is true, our faith is not in vain or futile, but leads to everlasting life. One day, our faith will be made sight when we look upon our risen Lord and Savior and come into the fullness of our rest with him. Because our faith will be made sight, that means today we can live by faith. We don't have to live just on the things that God has done in the past. We can live on what God may do in the future, what we trust him to do in the future. We don't have to live in fear of the things that could go wrong. No, because the resurrection is true. And even if I die, I will be raised to new life. I don't need to live in fear. I can live in faith that what God did for Christ, he will do for all who are in Christ. So how can you and I live by faith today, this week, this year? Because the resurrection is true, we no longer are in our sins. But our sins are paid for. Imagine every sin you've ever done has been wiped away. All of it. No more guilt and shame because of the resurrection. Christ conquered sin and death. And now because the resurrection is true and our sins are forgiven, we can continue to flee from sin. We no longer need to dabble in sin. That's our old life. Our new life is in the risen Savior. And one day when we're raised with him, there will be no more sin. And so today we can, by the power of the Spirit, resist the temptations, flee from the sin. We can confess our sin, kill our idols, and live today in glorious obedience to God. Because the resurrection is true, those who have died trusting in Christ have not perished. Oh no. They have not perished. They are with the Lord. And one day too, they will receive resurrected bodies. Just like everyone who is in Christ. So we grieve when our brothers and sisters in Christ die. We grieve, but we don't grieve without hope. And because we know the resurrection is true, we will endure any hardship or trial or suffering. We will sacrifice anything for our Savior. Because we know he's worthy. And we know one day we will be with him. And everything we ever did to try to serve him, to please him, to glorify him, to praise him, will come to fullness. All justice will reign. Evil will be crushed. Healing will come and sin will be no more. Because of the resurrection. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrection? The resurrection is true because Christ was raised from the dead. Christ is alive, and he is our resurrection. And if you have trusted in him, your sins are gone. Your faith will be made sight one day, and you will be raised with him to live with him forever and ever and ever. That's the glorious good news of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. And because the resurrection is true, then it changes everything. It changes everything. What a glorious Savior we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did raise Christ from the dead. We thank you for the stark reminder that if there is no resurrection, what would be true of us? People to be most pitied. And yet we are not people to be pitied. We are people who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, trying to persuade everyone that the resurrection is true and that they too can trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and one day be raised from the dead, given a new body to live with Christ forever. Remind us of the glory of the resurrection and help us live in light of the truth that one day we too will be raised from the dead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.